Hi, people. Okay, welcome to Diary of a Sex Therapist. My name is Elizabeth Akwinyili, and this is my diary. So on Diary of a Sex Therapist, I tell you everything I know. Everything, like every single thing I know about being spiritual, being smart, and being sexy. So we've been on a four-part series called Staying in Your Core. Staying in Your Core. If you haven't been listening, I beg you, please go back and listen, because it's really complex to stand in our space. Simple from God's perspective, complex from ours, because we don't know the full details. We're just figuring this thing out as we go. We're being led by the Spirit. Everyone has an opinion about where we should be with our lives. Community, our parents, our friends. The system, the education system, has a plan for your life already. And so in the midst of all this, knowing where God wants you to be, that's why I decided to have this four-part series. And of course, there's a book coming out and a devotional. The devotional should be out by next month, because I believe God wants us in this season to stand in our anointing, to stand in our place. That's why we've had this series. In the first part, I did talk about finding your call very briefly, and I recommended materials. In fact, there is a link in the first part podcast to Finding Your Core. It was a podcast by Dio Samuel that teaches you how to find some of your core strengths and your core skills. Yeah. And then we go to the second episode, where we did talk about distractions while staying in your call. Then the third episode was about the joys of staying in your call. And today we're going to be talking about the community for your call. The community for your call. As much as people will try to distract us, people will push us out, people would disrespect us, people will probably try to dishonor us because we are not who they want us to be. Apostle Paul was speaking to Timothy, and he said to him that he should not let any person despise him because he is young. Instead, Timothy should be an example in the things he did. There was a reason Apostle Paul had to send that part of the letter, because truth is, people will despise you for not looking like what they expect you to be. It's expectations. It's foolish, but it will happen. And it will happen to the best of us. It happened to Jesus. Literally, Jesus went to Nazareth, and all they could think about was, is he not the son of the carpenter? Their expectation was for him to stay in that space. He was not supposed to exceed it. Right? And another time came where Jesus' disciples were eating, and they came to ask Jesus, why do you always feast? See, their expectation was for Jesus to starve, that he's fasting, so that they can feel validated that they fast. So people would have expectations of you sometimes, because that's how they validate themselves. They would want to validate that they're higher than you, or that they're smaller than you. It's not uncommon, for example, in Nigeria, where someone calls you boss. So boss, it's not because you are technically boss. They're just trying to put you on a pedestal so you can feel emotionally blackmailed to do something for them. They are putting themselves lower and putting you above. Now you feel emotionally blackmailed to bless them. In quote, we know what blessing is money or something. People have expectations. The sooner we realize it, the better for us. I don't like it. It honestly hurts. There are days it makes me cry. But it doesn't rule out the fact that people will have crazy expectations of us. Now, in the midst of all these expectations, all these emotions going about, all the anger, the pain, the frustration, the distress, all these expectations are causing us, we can get tempted. Very tempted to isolate. But God didn't call us to isolation. If you missed my episode on communities, my communities is down, I think, 2 months ago. God did not build us. God did not create us to live alone. In fact, when God created Adam in Genesis, said it is not good that man should be alone. But mind you, God didn't just create a woman and say, oh, okay, Adam and Eve, now the garden is yours, flex, have fun, live for eternity. It says multiply. There is a place of multiplication. There's a community that comes with your multiplication, and it is necessary. When Jesus came to earth, we use him as our model in the New Testament. He's our new covenant reality. He's our new covenant role model. When Jesus came, Jesus had disciples. I mean, Jesus had access to all the legions of angels, because he said to Peter at Gethsemane that he could ask his father. He could ask his father. It meant Jesus knew he had access. It's not even something he had to beg for. It was just something he had to ask for. So it wasn't like Jesus didn't have heaven's backup. Jesus had the Holy Spirit. Jesus was endorsed. During his baptism, there was public endorsement in the Spirit. The enemy came and tempted Jesus. Jesus passed. So by all standards, by all of those initial standards, we will say Jesus had what it took to just come and do what he needed to do. But guess what? Jesus had disciples. And amongst his disciples, it's almost not wrong to say Jesus had friends. It's almost not wrong to say so. Peter, James, and John went with him to pray the last hour before Gethsemane. And he came and asked them, "Can't you watch with me for an hour?" He knew they would not watch, but he still went with them. He knew. He came and met them sleeping. He knew these guys were not watching with him, but they were still there. Jesus knew. He knew Peter was going to deny him. But Peter was there. He knew Judas was going to betray him, but Judas was still there. If Judas was in my camp, hey, Jesus, what I would do to him? Okay. But Jesus still kept the guy around. Why? He was trying to show us a model that people would always have to be around. Some of these guys would be bad, but in their evil and in their badness, in quotes, they would push us to where we need to be. In Judges, it was Samson that said, "Out of the eater has come something for me to eat, and out of the destroyer has come something sweet." So even in that community where wrong things happen to you, out of the eater comes something for you to eat, and out of the destroyer comes something sweet. But that's not the aspect of community I want us to treat today. I just touched on it because it's one of the things that terrifies us about community, about having people around. It terrifies us so much that we isolate and we handicap ourselves for the anointing. We handicap ourselves for the call. We handicap ourselves to fulfill what we've been called to do. When we started this series, we started talking about the Joel 2 army. The Joel 2 army is not full of generals who go to battle alone. No, it's an entire army where no man jostles or breaks ranks. It means they had to work together. One person had to shield the other. Where has God called you to be? What are the skill sets needed for where God has called you to be? If you are like me, you need to be a sex therapist. Or, let me use myself. I am a sex therapist, and I know it's something God wants me to do. Help people walk through abuse, addictions, get out the clogs in their sex life. And that means reduce divorce rates. That means helping traumatized kids and their families find balance, recalibrate to the God spot at every given point. That's what I'm doing. But guess what? I will be stressed to death. I will die early if I did it alone. I'll need someone to take care of marketing. I need someone to take care of my content distribution. I need someone to edit this podcast as I'm finishing it. I need someone to help me get in the studio tomorrow and record with me. Someone to edit the record. I need someone to help me organize. I need someone to help me with my scheduling, with my administration. All of those things. Are there tools? There are apps and tools for it. Yes, but there is the creativity and the collaboration and the ease a person brings to you. And God knows you need it. So I'm going to ask you one question. Why don't you have a tribe of your own? Why? Who hurt you? Whose life did you see get messed up by community and you swore to yourself that will not be me? Because if you don't forgive it, if you don't heal it, if you don't heal that scar, you won't come into your call. You won't experience your call. You will be at the duty post, but you will not experience what it means to be there. To be a Moses means to be frustrated. Your people will nag. It's part of the process. Your people will murmur. Your people will. It's part of the process. Your people will push you and they will shove at you, but it's part of the process. It's one of the things I'm telling myself. Elizabeth, is part of the process. I think it was last night or this morning, I sat down. I was meditating or praying. I remembered uttering the words that may I not be so in a hurry to reach my destination that I miss my process. If the people had not murmured about Mara, the water would not have become sweet because their leader would not have turned back and received an instruction for it. If the people had not started getting super afraid at the Red Sea, Moses would probably not have tuned in so much
to know what to do at the Red Sea. If the pressure from the Egyptians had not chased them, if the Egyptians had not chased them, they probably would have relaxed at the Red Sea and not have crossed over. There's a possibility. There's a possibility that if the people had not started asking for food in the wilderness and comparing it to Egypt, that Moses would not have been frustrated enough to ask God. Would God have provided? Yes. But would Moses have done it urgently? Possibly not. I said possibly. I'm not in his head. But possibly. Is there a possibility that the people who actually hurt you, the people who actually frustrated you, is there a possibility that they pushed you in the right direction, that they put urgency, that the pressure that came on you made you urgently do the things you were supposed to do? That's one. But that's two things. One, we're talking about needing the people and the hurts they may bring. Now, two, is releasing them. Have you released those things? Because if you don't release them, you don't get to experience the beauty of community. And this community ought to help you in your call. If you do it alone, you will break down. When I read the God Generals, one of the things I noticed was that many of these guys were superheroes. They did ministry alone. They were ministering all night, praying all day, studying all day, ministering all night, preaching all day. And that was all they kept doing, left, right, and center, everywhere they went. They did it so much till their body gave way from stress, from not delegating. Some of them even got into strife that someone got bigger or someone is trying to do what they are doing. That's not what God has called us to do. Ministry, amazing. Standing in our call, yes. But we need people. We need people who we can delegate to. We need people whom we can get counsel from. The Bible says, in a multitude of counsel, there is safety, and I can say without a shadow of doubt. I find that true. Not just because I'm a counselor, but I have found out that having a counselor's network in the last 4 years has been the best decision I made as a therapist. Joining one has been my best decision right after trusting God for inspiration. The things I was healing from that took me about 5 years, when I got into my counselor's network, I was able to solve the exact equivalent in about 1 year. The kind of issues that would have taken me months to sort out, being in a network helped me resolve them in weeks. Some in days. Some only took was seeing my colleague's certificate. I'm like, oh, okay, so this, I knew the next thing to do, because I had a community of like-minded people who are not doing exactly what I'm doing, but they are heading in the same direction. So I'm going to ask you another question. Question number two for today. Who is around you? Who is going where you're going? If you are in music, how many musicians are your friend? And I don't mean singers. You could be a vocalist, but your friends are instrumentalists. You could be a jazz person, and your friends probably do classical. It doesn't matter what kind of music they do, if they do music. Because what happens is, when you only work with people who do exactly what you do, there is a huge tendency that you will still be myopic. You will still be restricted to the same point of view and the same perspectives. But you could look for a larger community. People who are going where you're going, they might not be doing the exact same thing, but they are in your sphere, they are in your industry. And there are people of faith doing the same thing. So who is in your community? Who can you ask counsel from? Who can you say, pray with me? Who can you ask, what's the king's agenda for me? David's edge with Saul was the anointing and the fact that David had a friend in Saul's son, Jonathan. So by the anointing, he had direction. By Jonathan's counsel, he knew when to move. He knew when to run, because he had a friend in the palace. Who do you know? Who's in your community? Who's in your tribe? Who's speaking into your ears? Who's with you? Who can watch with you? Who can pray with you? Who's at Gethsemane to witness you? Who is there to witness your transfiguration? Who? We've dealt with hurts. If it's a hurt, then it becomes important that you release it, because if you don't, you miss out the goodness that could be wrapped up in 7 billion people because of 1, 2, 3, 5, 10, 50 people who's hurt you in your lifetime. God wants you to be whole. God wants you to do your assignment. God wants you to stand in your call. But God doesn't want you to have a lopsided life while at it. Don't be so good in ministry that your relationship is crappy. Don't be so good at your assignment that your business is crashing. No. That's not what it is. But you won't do all of that alone. There comes in the word delegation. There comes in friendship. There comes in professional communities. There comes in ministerial communities. There comes in counselors. That's why all these things need to come in. This is your community, your tribe, your people. Your call will not thrive alone. You will not thrive at your call alone. You need your Aarons, your Ors, and your Moses. You need them. You need your Peters and your Johns. You need people who would write letters about what really happened, not the rumors on the street. You need people who actually understood what happened at the Mountain of Transfiguration, not people who heard, people who were there. You need your Jonathans, people who would tell you to run. You need people who would inspire you in your inner circle. You can't do this alone. You were not wired to do it alone. Yes, when you isolate, you are fast. Yes, when you isolate, you are fast. But you could be fast and not go far. You will burn out. I'm not going to mince words here. You will burn out. If you choose speed alone, you will burn out. You will burn out, literally. You will burn out emotionally. You will burn out physically. You will burn out biologically. You will be so full of activities, you might not even have time for your consecration, your private time, your prayer time, your rest time, your sleep, your relationship. You won't have time for every other thing. That's not what God called us to do. God didn't call us to be lopsided. Your call is not about being great in one area, having an area of 10 and every other area of your life is a 1. That's not what it is. It's not what it is. Being in your call is having a balanced life, as it might not be 5-5-5 all over, but having a life where everything is fairly usable simultaneously and still being able to do what you're called to do. To do that, to achieve that, you need people. People on the call with you. People who are friends, people who are not even professional colleagues. I need you to have an introspection with yourself. Have an introspection and really assess yourself. Do I have community? Why don't I have community? Who are the kinds of people I need at such a time as this? Pray through it and take actions. If you need to reach out to professional communities, if you need to reach out to a church community, if you need to reach out to a single mom's community in your neighborhood, if there is none, create one. It might just be 2 friends. It doesn't have to be a large circle of 300 people. It could be just 2 people. It could be just 1 person. 2 heads, they say, are better than 1. It's not just a cliche for cliche's sake. It's a cliche because it works. Because it's true. But those 2 heads will not be usable if they do not agree. For 2 cannot work together except they agree. So sometimes you would have to compromise for members of your community. You have to give space for their lapses. They would have to give space for your lapses. That's how this works. That's how this army moves. I hope you stay in your call. I hope you're energized. So truly, truly stay in your space to do what you were called to do, regardless of people's opinions, regardless of the distractions, regardless of the weary days, regardless. I hope you stay. I hope in 5 years' time, I can chat with you, talk to you, and know that this podcast helped you stay in your anointing, stay in your call. Of course, the book will come out, something you can walk around with, read over the years. The devotional will come out and it's something you can pray with. We're not going to put a date on the devotional. So whenever you pick it up, you could always refresh and get back in spirit. Whenever you are tired, there'll probably be a full-on course on this. But until then, we would release the book and the devotional. I would keep praying for you that you stay in your call. Until next Friday, when we begin our series, Body. So, there's been a lot of conversation around body shaming for us. I'm sure we have 2 episodes. That should be our first 2 podcasts, actually. Body shaming, subtle art of body shaming. I'm going to be having a session with my team at the office, at the Lisa Express concert, we're going to be talking about body shaming next week, Monday. It becomes important that we have this next series. It's a 5-part series on body. We're going to be talking about shame, being healthy, being sexy, understanding your biology and everything we can possibly cram into 5 episodes. Yeah, please don't miss out. Don't stop listening and share this with a friend. Bye.